big relief to know that I don't preach very long. For every two of you that says it don't matter, there's 50 that says it does. All right, I'm going to read a scripture to you, but when I read this scripture to you, I want you to go ahead and take your Bible and be turning to 2 Chronicles. We'll get in the Old Testament here. 2 Chronicles. And I want you to turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Now, first, I want to read this verse to you. I want to read 1 Kings chapter 15 and verse number 24. The Bible says, and Asa slept with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David, his father. And Jehoshaphat, his son, reigned in his stead. Now, I'm going to take a few minutes tonight, and I'm going to draw your attention to a man in the Bible by the name of Jehoshaphat. And the title of my message tonight is Friends in Low Places. Now, Garth Brooks had some when his song came out, but God don't think too much of it. So I reckon you ought to listen to God over Garth Brooks. Amen? Yeah. Or I like to say Barf Brooks. Yeah. All right, my youth pastor here is with me here tonight. Brother Sonny Pierce, would you pray for this and we'll get going. Amen. Amen. Now, Jehoshaphat was the fourth king of Judah. The Bible tells us that he was 35 years old when he ascended to the throne, and he took the place of his father Asa. And he reigned for 25 years. Now, you read about the life of Jehoshaphat, you'll read that he was a good king. And that's something I want you to understand right before we get started with this thing here tonight. Jehoshaphat was a good king. He wasn't one of the wicked kings. He was a good king. For an example, you read a couple of times that Jehoshaphat inquired of a prophet before he went to battle. In 1 Kings 22, he inquires of the prophet before he's going to go fight the Syrians. In 2 Kings 3, before he's going to go fight the Moabites. And so he's consulting God. He walked in the ways of God. And his father David, the Bible says about him, the Bible records that he got rid of the high places of Baal. That's always a good thing to do, ain't it? Yeah. Get rid of the false gods. He got rid of Molech worship. He sent Levites out to read the law of God to several cities of Judah. He's doing good. The Lord blessed him and the Lord prospered him. 2 Kings chapter 22 tells us that he got rid of the rest of the Sodomites. Amen. That his father Asa was unable to remove. That's always a pretty good thing, don't you think? Yes. Fella, get rid of the Sodomites. I mean, he can't do nothing but help. I mean, some of you ain't smiling. Yeah. Amen. Now, as good of a man as Jehoshaphat was, he had a problem. In fact, his problem is the title of this message. He has some friends in low places. And that was his problem. Jehoshaphat had a problem with getting hooked up with the wrong people. Three different times, at least in the Bible, he gets hooked up with some bad dudes that he ought to stay away from. Now, I'm going to briefly mention two of them, and then we're going to be right here in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and focus on just one. Now, you remember Jehoshaphat hooked up with King Jehoram, Ahab's son. You read about this companionship in 2 Kings chapter 3. Jehoram was a wicked man, just like his daddy. And the Moabites turned against Israel, and Jehoram asked for Jehoshaphat and Judah's help. And you remember the story, maybe. If you don't, one thing I find sort of funny about it is Jehoshaphat comes to Israel's aid, but Elisha's standing there, and he tells Jehoram, he says, if Jehoshaphat wasn't standing here, I wouldn't even speak to you, buddy. Actually, the Bible says I wouldn't even look towards you. The only reason I'm giving you anything right now at all is because of him, not because of you. Yeah. As they would say where I'm from, you're sorry as gourd guts. Then in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, you read that Jehoshaphat enters into a naval alliance with Ahijah, there you go, the king of Israel. The Bible, by the way, let me just go ahead and say this. I've had an allergic reaction to something yesterday, and I'm taking some allergy medicine that you're not supposed to operate a motorized vehicle. So, I really am. True story. It's over the counter. It's legal, but still, it's got me a little fuzzy. So y'all pray for me. Amen. Matter of fact, I may preach better than I ever preached. I don't know. We'll see. But then, so he has this naval alliance with the king there. But the Bible says that this king was wicked, and the Lord destroyed those ships. You read about that in the Bible. But what I want us to focus on just for a few minutes is Jehoshaphat's alliance with King Ahaz. King Ahab. As most of you know, Ahab was a very wicked king, and his wife Jezebel was a wicked woman. Yeah. And Ahab asked Jehoshaphat for help to fight the Syrians, and Jehoshaphat agrees to help him. So we're going to look here in 2 Chronicles, in this chapter here, chapter 20, and make some practical application and about what's going on here. And I want you to notice, first of all, and we'll back up to 2 Chronicles chapter 18. Let's do that. 2 Chronicles chapter 18. I want you to notice, first of all, what happens here. I want you to notice Jehoshaphat's direction. Jehoshaphat's direction. And it's all, we'll put all this together, and this all be, we'll make a sense of it here at the end here in a moment. But I want you to notice this, Jehoshaphat's direction. What's his direction? Well, the Bible says he goes down. Now, Jehoshaphat had riches and honor and abundance and joint affinity with Ahab. Verse number 2, and after certain years, he went down to Ahab to Samaria. Actually, when you read this account over in the book of 1 Kings chapter 22, it says he came down. You say, well, what did he do? Did he go? Was it went down or came down? It's both. Yeah, yeah. Went down implies a choice. Came down implies a direction. Let me tell you something. You're always going down when you get hooked up with the wrong people. Amen. You can always rest assured of that. You're going to go down when you're hooked up with the ungodly. Yeah. And this is the thing. The theme of it is us taking a stand and taking a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ and having a stand in our life. Well, you're not going to stand on anything if you're out there running with the wrong people. Now, this is not some kind of message on ultra separation and we're right and everybody else is wrong. And we're just going to pick at little bitty things. And if you just don't look at every little thing right like me, then I don't want to have nothing to do with you. That's not the nonsense I'm talking about. But what I am talking about here tonight is this. If you're going to take a stand for God, you can't be hooked up with some people and some things. You're not going to come out. You're not going to keep standing for that book, especially in this day and time. You're not going to keep standing for truth. And you're not going to run with the right people. You're going to get messed up. And the very thing with some of you thinking, well, I can handle it, shows me you don't know your Bible. The Bible says, be not deceived. Evil communication corrupt good manners. You say, well, does that apply to me? Absolutely it applies to you. It applies to all of us. But you're going down when you start getting around the folks that they're just people that are not for God and not for the things of God, but you just keep hanging around them. That's your direction. Now, what was Jehoshaphat's affection? Notice what it says there in verse number 3. And Ahab, king of Israel, said unto Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, wilt thou go with me to Ramoth-Gilead? And he answered him, I am as thou art, and my people as thy people. We will be with thee in the war. You know, you're a Jew, I'm a Jew. You're my kinfolk, I'm kin to you. We'll side with you over the preacher. I know the preacher's right, I know he's biblically right, but listen, you're my uncle and you're the deacon, so we'll go with you. Amen. That's a Baptist church for you. That's right. If that's not a Baptist church, I'll eat your dirty socks. I pastored some of them. I'm from South Alabama, and I started out. I'm a licensed, ordained, educated, married, and when I die, if my wife does what I tell her to, I'm going to be buried in a Southern Baptist graveyard. And you know what Southern Baptist churches are notorious for? These little Southern Baptist churches got 30 or 40 or 50 people in there, and they all kin to each other, and they all got one thing in common. We're against that preacher. You don't believe it? Come to Alabama and I'll show you.
Amen.
You know what your affection is going to be? I'm going to side with my family. I'm going to side with my friends. I'm going to side, you know, whatever brings me my fortune. I'm going to hang around folks to make money. I'm going to vote for folks because it helps me economically. I don't care what kind of thing they stand for. I could care less who you vote for, to be honest with you. And you're just going to, when you affection, listen, when you look at the life of Lot, he was grieved by those folks. That's what the Bible said. But why is he hanging around there?
Yeah,
if he's grieved by them and he's repulsed by them and he thinks they're wicked, why is he pitching his tent toward that place?
Amen.
I'll tell you why his affection is there to make a dollar.
Amen.
That's a good place to be, to do what he's supposed to, what he wants to do to make money.
Uh-huh.
You know what happens? You say, well, I go to work with these folks and I hang around with these folks and I hobnob with these folks, but I'm a Christian. And I believe in the Lord and I'm going to walk with the Lord. I'm going to do what God told me to do. You just keep fooling around with them. You just keep fooling around with them. You're not going to keep your stand. You know why? Because your direction is going to change your affection. You keep heading in the wrong direction, and something gets to changing in your heart. I've seen too many Christians over the years. I've pastored too many of them. And what was preached here tonight before I got up here is absolutely true. There's been many a times things you would have never dreamed of saying that you believe or you don't believe anymore, or places you go or things you do. 15 years ago, you never stood on that. And some of you, you watch things right now and you laugh at things. You laugh at things right now you would have never let in your house 15, 10 or 15 years ago. And you know what? What you laugh at and know that it's wrong, but you still watch it and laugh at it, your youngest accept it and they do it. And that's a problem with all of us.
Amen.
Our direction, and it gets a hold of our affection. And then I want you to notice Jehoshaphat's infection. He gets infected. Now, I'm not going to take near the time. You folks have been very patient here tonight, and there's been a lot preached here. But if you were to take your Bible and go through from verses 4 and on down through 34 and go through that chapter there, you're going to see that Jehoshaphat gets a little infected there with some spiritual deception. One thing he gets to do is you look from verses 4 to 22, he gets to hear 400 lying prophets compared to one real prophet. And what he's doing there is he's inquiring about whether or not he's to go against the Syrians with King Ahab. That was nothing to pray about. By the way, some of you folks think you're spiritual by saying, well, let's just pray about it. That's not spiritual. There's a lot of things you don't need to pray about.
Amen.
If the Bible's made it real clear, you don't need to pray about it. If I come up and tell you quit fornicating, you know, I'd say, well, I ain't convicted of it. I don't care if you're convicted of it or not. The Bible says you're not to fornicate. Well, I'll quit getting drunk. I'll pray about getting drunk. You pray about it, old drunkard. There ain't nothing to pray about. I get tired of that sometimes. I go, just pray about it, bro. Why don't you pray about it? All you're going to hear now, brother, Dr. Peacock, is going to go out here and say, Brother Dennis said he's against prayer. That's how that stuff goes. He's preaching against prayer. Do you know what you read about in that section there? Listen, Jehoshaphat's standing there, and I don't have time to read it. You can go back and read it later. He witnesses a man of God being slapped and in prison, and he doesn't say a thing about it. And he wasn't for that. He's a good. Listen, I told you he's a good king. He's a good king. He's not a bad king. But you know what? He's got his direction messed up. He's got his affection messed up. And now it's infected him. And now he's able to stand there and just keep his mouth shut and say, well, you know, some stuff like that happens. He goes against a man of God's advice and nearly gets killed, but God saves him. He's infected by that time. Listen, you cannot hang around with hogs without getting slop on you. A little leaven is the whole lump, and that's exactly what that Bible means, and ain't never going to be nothing any different than that. It applies to me and you and all of us in here. Now, I tell you what you do. You just keep hanging around the wicked people, and you just keep acting like you're spiritual and you can handle it. And pretty soon, you'll adhere to their wicked teachings and their philosophies and their ways. You just keep hanging around your dope buddies. You'll be smoking dope again. You keep listening to your friends and your favorite radio preachers about how good the NIV is. You'll be reading one for us long. Before long, you'll put down your King James Bible. You keep talking to family members who don't care for your church and don't care for your pastor and don't care for your biblical stand. And pretty soon, you'll be criticizing right along there with them. You just keep on going on your hunting trips and then with your adulterer buddies and your beer guzzlers, and you'll be doing it with them one day. Oh, not me. Yes, you. I pastored too long. I know exactly what I'm talking about.
Amen.
I've seen it over and over and over. Go on ahead and go in business with that lost man or that backslidden Christian. Amen. Just keep on hobnobbing with that coworker. Let's see where it winds you up. Keep on getting on there with your favorite YouTube preachers and getting on to the clickbait. And getting on that stuff, and then you want to fight the government and preach against the conspiracies.
Amen.
And throw your Bible away.
Yeah.
Go ahead and have your God and country service at home and get everybody there into your church. Now, what do you mean God and country service? God ain't nowhere around this country.
Amen.
Amen. Everybody all right with that?
Yeah.
Going to have your God and country service. It'll have your country repent service is what you need.
Yeah. That's right.
You'll get more, you know what some of you preachers are doing? I'm probably talking to some of you. You get more interested in a man's view on the mask mandate and the vaccine than the Bible. Then you know what you're going to wind up doing, some of you preachers and some of you other folks that's following that mess? You're going to wind up dropping out of church so you can build your bunker and fill it up with guns and rice.
Amen.
When you run out of rice, at least you have your guns, you can shoot yourself. That Bible tells you you're not to be unevenly yoked with unbelievers. You're not to be unevenly yoked and hanging around and fellowshipping with folks that are not righteous. What communion hath light with darkness? None. What concord hath Christ with Belial? None. You that believe with an infidel? None. It's pretty plain and straight to me. Come out from among them and be ye separate. But then I want you to notice Jehoshaphat's correction. And notice in verse number 1, Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, returned to his house in peace in Jerusalem. And Jehu, the son of Hanani, the seer, went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Notice what he said. Therefore, it's wrath upon thee from before the Lord. He said, there's something wrong with you, man. There's something wrong with you. When you get to a point where you love them that hate our Lord, there's something wrong with you. What are you doing helping the ungodly? What are you doing supporting the ungodly? What are you doing loving those that don't love our Lord? There's something wrong with you. You don't forsake the truth to have unity. Somebody says, why can't we just all get along? Well, because we ain't going to. And I'm not going to try. I'm not going to try. I'm not even going to make an attempt at it. Because once I start going down that road, I've left my Savior.
Amen.
All right, now, if he'll help me, I'm staying on his side. I'm walking with him.
Amen.
I made my mind up. If he'll help me, that's what I'm going to do. We ought to be loyal to God and to his book and to his men.
Amen.
Jehu said the wrath of God was upon them. And God was angry with them. And God probably angry with some of us. We just tell the truth about it. And the thing about it, and I had initially had you turn to chapter 20, but you can go down through there and read some of that stuff. We won't turn there, but Jehoshaphat learned nothing after this incident. It was after this that he hooked up with the king there and had the naval alliance. He didn't learn anything.
Right.
Now, isn't that a shame? Isn't it a shame that you got a good king and the Bible tells you he done some good things and the Bible tells you all the good things that he did do?
Yeah.
But then the Bible says, but he had a problem. He had some friends in low places. Every time Jehoshaphat turned around, he's hooking up with the wrong people. And that ain't Christian love. That ain't being merciful. That ain't being nice. And that ain't being sweet. And that ain't trying to get along. And that ain't trying to... No, that's not. That's throwing Christ under the bus.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you again, when you take that direction, it's going to do something to your affections. You understand that? Then you're going to get infected with some stuff. And then there ain't but one thing left for you or church or any of us when that happens. That's God's correction. It's coming. Chastisement, consequences, correction. We want to take a stand, don't we? We are not going to take a stand when we are constantly pumping into our ears and in our eyes and running with the wrong folks.
Yeah.
There are some people that you cannot be. And listen, I realize I got Christmas dinners just like you do. I have Thanksgiving just like you do. I got friends and family members just like you do. I'm from the deep south, man, the heart of Dixie. I know all about that family stuff. I understand that. But I'm going to tell you, when you purposely choose and look at, get excited, and are, whether it's in business or friendships or family or even seeking out the bad ones, it's amazing how the bad ones, the disgruntled people that sit over here can find the disgruntled people that sit over here and they can get together in a church. When you're constantly putting yourself around folks like that and getting involved with folks like that, there ain't nothing good ever going to come out of it. I think it's a terrible testimony to be like Jehoshaphat. It'd been better off if he's one of the wicked kings. I'm a wicked king. I do wicked, and that's why I'm throwing all these men under the bus. That's why I'm not doing what's right. That's why I love evil and hate the good. I love the evil and hate the good. But that's not him. He's a good man. Maybe like some of us, saved. Love the Lord. Some good qualities about us. But you know what? You know what the truth is tonight? You're running around with some folks and trying to stay connected with some folks and trying to listen to some folks, and it's going to booger you up. Going to booger you up. You're not going anywhere. You can tell a great deal about a man or a ministry by who speaks well of them and who speaks evil of them, and who that man or ministry is hooked up with. We ought to have some enemies. I don't know how many times I've preached a funeral before and somebody will stand up or give a testimony or at the funeral home, especially, well, like I said, where I'm from, and say, I tell you what, she sure was a good woman. He sure was a good man. I tell you what, I ain't never heard nobody say one bad thing about them. And you think that's a good testimony. When me and you die and they put us in the ground and there's folks walking through there and says, I ain't never heard nobody say one bad thing about Dennis Knowles. I failed you miserably, and more importantly, I failed my Savior.
Amen.
You mean to tell me they're going to speak bad about Christ and we don't expect them to speak bad about us? Didn't our Lord say, woe be unto you if ever man speaks well of you? There's something wrong.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about being mean and bad-spirited and crazy and stupid and all that kind of stuff, but just doing the right thing, man. Some people ought to dislike you.
Amen.
Everybody at your work likes you, and they don't just sort of go, here he comes again. He might be going to be talking about the Lord. I'm not talking about witnessing when you ought to be working. I'm not talking about that. But you ought to rub some people that are wrong.
Amen.
And the fact that everybody likes you is not a good testimony at all. And I'd hope and pray a preacher didn't say that once I'm dead. You may love the Lord. You may serve the Lord. You may try to walk with the Lord. But maybe some of you is just like Jehoshaphat. You have some friends in low places. Well, you're heading in the wrong direction. And you're going down. And your affection is not placed on Christ and things above. You're going to be infected. And God is going to have to take you out behind the woodshed probably. Because you have divided loyalty. And this is the scariest thing as I get ready to close here tonight. The scariest thing is deception. You see, you're going to get to a point that you will think these people you are following are right.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. And you're deceived. And you can then forget standing. That's what the theme is. You can forget standing for the Bible and standing for the truth and standing for God and standing for what's right and standing for the Lord. Instead, you're going to be standing and defending a bunch of nonsense. All right, let's bow our head and close our eyes. I'm going to turn it back over to the pastor.